Hi, friends, and welcome back to Tigress. Today, we're going to be talking about canines. Well, we're specifically going to be talking about being a dog mom. As y'all know, my family has a dog named Romeo Blue. Romeo Blue has come up a few times on the podcast before. You can hear Issa squealing already because she is an absolute dog mom. We've talked about Blue a few times before, but he really isn't my dog. It was more like I happened to be in the house because of the pandemic when the dog was adopted. And it was really me taking a lot of puppy videos. And then I skedaddled for a few years. And this dog has really been raised by Issa. Our family has had 3 dogs so far. Actually 4, because my first word was Booger, because my mom had a dog when she was growing up named Booger, who was still alive when I was born, and he was a really bad dog, so they were always screaming at him, Booger, Booger, Booger. So then my first word was Booger. Then we had Cody when we moved to Portland. Cody was an old golden retriever, the sweetest dog. Then I had a mental breakdown when I took a high school test, and then my mom said yes to getting me a puppy from the pet store named Rufus, who we really couldn't take care of, and I was a really bad dog trainer. So that dog eventually went back to the Humane Society and was adopted by a wonderful family right after that. And then a few years later, we adopted Romeo Blue from the Humane Society. And Romeo Blue is an interesting character, and I'm going to let Issa tell the story of how we got Romeo.
I birthed him on November 7th. I'm just kidding. Story. This is a good story time. Let me just prep the scene. Okay. It was Christmas, right? New Year's. It was 2 days after New Year's. And all of you guys were home because of the pandemic.
This is 2020.
Yeah, because of the pandemic. Was Henry there?
I think it's 2019.
No.
Yeah, I think this is 2019.
No, he's about to turn 3.
2019.
Okay, anyways, everyone was home for Christmas. And a few weeks prior, Mom and I had gone to the Humane Society. Like we do, we just needed like a little pick-me-up. So we went to the Humane Society. And we looked at cats and we were like, yeah. We looked at rabbits and we were like, oh no. And we looked at birds and we were like, ugh. So then we walked through the dog section as we do. We were just looking. And when I tell you there was an influx of puppies that had never been seen before, Mom was like, oh, fuck. Because we walked through and typically Mom's like, we're going to look like, yeah, like I said, our little happy dose of dogs. We walked through expecting just like these old, sad golden retriever like dogs that Mom would just be like, oh, Issa, look, a dog you can pet. But there were litters this time, like one out of like the first time in what, 20 visits. And Mom was like, shit, because we fell in love with this little baby puppy.
Because you'd gone back a few times.
We'd gone back a few times. But Mom was always like, we're not getting a puppy. We're not getting a dog. We're not getting a dog. And there's puppies.
Yeah.
And we both fell in love with this litter. We fell in love with Blue's litter. And honestly, to be honest, I wanted his sister.
How many of them were there?
3. Okay. I wanted his sister because she had a little heart nose. And I thought it was adorable. But Mom's the one that really fought for this gorgeous little boy who had a white sleeve.
Why did Mom like Blue?
Because he was the fighter. He was feisty. He was one of us. And now, okay, I'll tell you, it's been difficult raising one of us. But I think Mom really fought for him. Because when I tell you, is Blue not like one of us? Yes, he is.
I don't even know how to answer that question.
He's so, like, and I mean this in the most loving fucking way. That dog has so much anxiety, and I just replaced you in a male with a little baby puppy.
Okay, so,
what was I talking about? Oh, yes. So anyways, after we started looking in the Humane Society, Mom was like, okay, well, let's play
with
them. Let's play with them. So then we pet them. Oh. It really just did not help her case of not getting a dog. So then we were like, what do we do? And we asked the lady, we interviewed them, and they're like, well, they haven't gotten their shots yet, so they're actually not for adoption. So I left crying. And then Christmas happened, New Year's happened, and I checked this page every 5 minutes. I think I never shut my phone off. I just like kept my phone plugged in, and I just checked. I just reloaded the site. And then New Year's happened, and I remember, I think it was January 2nd, they went up for adoption.
One of them had gotten adopted right away.
No. I'm not there in the story yet, Nadia. I reloaded the page and it was like for sale. Ryder. His name was Ryder. And so we were at breakfast. We were all in our PJs. I was wearing the polo gray vintage sweater. Anyways, we were all at breakfast and I screamed my pants off and I grabbed my keys and ran to the car. And I was like, shit, are you guys coming? And I was like, I'm leaving in 5 minutes and I'm going to buy this dog. Like, you can come if you want. So then everyone got in the car. Like, I made you guys just get in the car. Like, we left our eggs on the table. Mom just turned the stove off, like, with eggs in the pan. Like, we ran into the car. And when I tell you, I almost killed us at a few red stops. Like, I drove so fucking fast to this Humane Society because these puppies go so fast. And when we walked in, his brother was walking out. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, a man and I bolted to the front desk and Ryder's sibling was walking out. And I almost started crying. And I, like, screamed at the lady at the front desk. And I was like, I need a paper and pencil to fill out this fucking form.
Gosh.
And so then I filled it out. And then, anyways, this is the long story.
And then, I remember getting there. And it was the second time you met them.
It was the second time that we had met them. And it just, like, we met his sister. And honestly, his sister was so food motivated. She was, like, sleepy, drowsy. She just fell asleep on the floor and in front of us. And then she was, like, so sweet. She could have been really easily trained because she was so food motivated. And then Ryder came in and just hopped in every one of our labs, licked our faces. He was, like, playing with us. He's blue. He was, like, tug-of-warring with us. And he just, like, he took all of our hearts. Did he not take you? You were there,
no,
Nadia.
He was the cutest. So, so sweet. But I do think it's interesting because we adopted this dog who we named Romeo. What's the full name?
Romeo Blue.
Romeo Blue something Okamoto?
No, it's just Romeo Blue.
Okay, Romeo Blue. Why did I think Sarsaparilla?
I think because it took us a week to name him. We went through lists of names. And remember, there's a video where Amaya's like, gosh, yeah. Like, speak Chinese, but we tried to name him like an Asian name. Like we went through the classics of like mochi, edamame, kinako. Like
I
we
have
wanted
no
to
idea
name
how
him
we
something like
got
that.
Blue.
I have no idea. I remember we were like Blue and we were like, that's such a dog name. Like everyone's like, yeah. Oh, I know a dog named Blue. And then we're like Romeo, because he's the Romeo of Romeo and Juliet. And then we were like, we really, really struggled with the name.
Yeah.
But we settled on Romeo Blue.
There, I remember butting heads with you and Mom about how we were going to train this dog. Because this dog, we did not realize was a pit bull.
We thought he was a boxer.
We thought he was a boxer / partially pit bull. Then we eventually did a DNA test and it was like 100% pit bull. But another part of it was,
thank God,
Mom and you were very about gentle parenting with this dog. So we did not tell the dog no. We did not ever reprimand the dog.
Which we changed a little
which
bit.
Which we had to change.
Yeah.
Because Blue is an entitled little puppy.
I do not regret training him like that for one second.
Why?
Because I'm not going to name the dogs in our life that have been trained with stern fingers and nose and yells and screams.
Oh, and you
and
think they're sad.
And they're so sad. Like, Blue isn't spoiled. He just knows what he deserves.
So this dog, I swear to you, is so spoiled in the sense that, like, he's the most luxurious princess puppy. Like, he will not pee on the street. Like, if you take him on a walk on the street, he's, like, anxious about it. And then he also kind of, like, looks
down.
He also
doesn't like mud. And he won't, no matter how thirsty he is. And he's a pit bull, so heat gets to him fast. No matter how thirsty he is, he will not touch the water at the dog park.
Yeah, he's like really snobby about it.
And also after every dog park run, he needs at least 15 minutes in the shade under the tree.
Yeah, he's like such a princess
dog. Like
he
will drag you there.
And he really, he only will go on walks with certain people, like you and Mom.
Yeah.
Anybody else, he will just sit down and refuse to move.
Unless they have another dog.
Yeah, but otherwise he'll sit down and refuse to move. But I think it's interesting because we kind of talked about this last week around you as the youngest sibling not really being in a caretaker role. And then suddenly you have this dog, Blue, and it's like your responsibility. Like Mom is walking.
Well, I will say, and Mom has reminded me so much that for the first 2 years, like Mom took a lot of care of him. Like I was going through a lot, hence the Blue saved my life aspect of this story, which we'll get to. But mom did so much to keep Blue. And I feel like mom also needed a dog at that time. Like, we had just moved out of that 800 square foot apartment downtown that we grew up in into this like beautiful townhouse across town, but like into a new home.
Yeah.
And I feel like mom was kind of coming into, I mean, I won't speak for her, but like mom was coming into the shoes of stability and a new sense of responsibility that she hadn't seen before. And I feel like mom, for like, while mom probably didn't need a dog at that time, I feel like he also was a big role in not just my life. Okay.
Yeah. No, but in a big role in both of your lives.
Yeah.
And like definitely changed a lot for you.
Yeah.
Like changed, I think, how you thought of responsibility and how you structured your life. I also was very thankful that Blue kept you home.
Yeah.
And like stopped kind of this partying side.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, as we talked about in last week's episode too, it was something like you always felt like I was like your child. Like you, it was almost like you had to survive because you had another being to survive for. Mm. Like you had to come home so that you could put me to sleep. Like I honestly remember this. Like,
yeah.
Whether in New York or something, you would always like put me to sleep or things like that. Like it was things that just kept you going of I have this responsibility. I can't let this go. And I had never had that feeling before. And I feel like honestly, mom did try with like getting me a fish and with getting me a hamster and things like that. But mom was so reluctant to get a puppy because those kind of fell through and like she ended up taking care of it. So having Blue definitely gave me the sense of I need to take care of myself because I need to be there for another living thing.
Yeah. I mean, and Blue definitely has his, he's a handful.
He's
scared of cardboard boxes.
Not anymore. Okay.
He's scared of ground floors.
Not anymore.
He only likes
you have not seen him in so long.
I was with him last week.
You were with him? Oh, really?
Yeah. I was in Portland last week.
Okay, he's
scared of ground floors. He's the sweetest. He's like,
maybe he regresses with you.
Anybody who meets Blue knows that, like, they're always like, I've never seen such a cuddly dog. Like, he will climb on top of you and just sleep.
Yeah.
He's all about sleeping all day.
Yeah.
And he's the sweetest.
Yeah.
How do you think Blue saved your life?
Like I just said, he gave me a sense of responsibility. He kept me home because for a while there, I was just feeling so hopeless. I like did not have much to hold on to.
Career-wise, school-wise, party-wise?
School-wise.
Okay.
I mean, school was my career at this time. And additionally, I feel like touch was something that was really difficult for me. And touch is my love language. That was something else we talked about, like how you and I's relationship is so based on like holding each other and like our family. Like touch is our huge love language. Like, but I feel like after everything, all of us have gone through ups and downs of like not wanting to be around anyone, especially not being touched by anyone, including each other, like including like hugs from each other. That's what I mean. But like I was really struggling with feeling that sense of like value from any aspect of my life. And Blue was like the first thing that I held and that held me.
No! I mean, and you snuggled with him. Yeah. Are you going to cry?
Yeah.
Oh, Issa. I also think what's really funny is, okay, I'm going to mix up because you have two exes. Blue liked one
Who
of them.
Blue liked? No, okay.
She's literally crying. Because Blue gives you responsibility.
Yeah. I mean, that was another thing was that Blue, if Blue does not like you, I don't like you. So
but
like,
that's not true.
That's why I only have had two serious boyfriends the past 2 years, which I think is a blessing. Like, you know me before, Blue. I was everywhere.
Well, you couldn't be alone.
Yeah, I couldn't be alone, but at the same time, I couldn't be in love and I couldn't, you know, have that connection with anyone.
But Blue didn't like one of your exes.
No, he did. He stood him.
But there is one that
like
I remember.
Blue would wake up. No, we would wake up. No, so if Blue doesn't like you, he will come at you now. But so Blue stood him. Like we would wake up. I have a photo of I turned around. Blue was full human form, head on pillow with us, with two front paws on his back.
Like pushing him away.
Like pushing him away. So like Blue stood him, but there were things like that where we'd wake up and Blue was on his face.
Like
his
did not want him to be there.
Like I tell you, like, yeah, he would, you know, want his bed back, want his part of the bed back.
Yeah.
Whereas it wasn't like that with the other one.
Do you feel like...
Whereas Blue would like join the cuddle session on the other side.
How... I know that when we've gone on trips or when you're planning like going somewhere, a main reason why you need to get back within 2 weeks is because of Blue.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about
college?
College. Mm. I mean, what you just said.
I have
said
therapy
by Blue,
twice a week.
Still?
I mean, every other week, actually. I should probably do twice a week.
Yeah. But you're not going to see Blue till for a couple months till October.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about that? Are you worried about him? Like.
I think I'm in denial. I really think I'm in denial. Two nights before it really hit me. And I just like, I slept with Boo in his bed. And then I like cried for 2 hours. Wow, I'm really exposing myself as such a like
dog
obsessive
mom.
Dog mom. But we could go deeper into like the meaning of Blue. But I feel like you get it. Like, I am really scared to be without him. But I feel like these past 2 years have really, really taught me what I need to like do for myself in order to go home to him and take care of him. So it's kind of like, just like elongated. Like I got to take care of myself for the next 2 months so that I can go home.
In October.
And I'm going to get a tattoo.
A tattoo of Blue?
No tattoo artist. And I say this with full confidence. Oh, except there's one in South Korea that I found that possibly could do it. That could do his face justice.
I like that it's not could draw a dog. It's could do justice to Blue's beautiful face.
Like, I need to see his soul through his eyes. And I also want one of those tattoos where, like, the eyes will follow you anywhere you look. And, yeah.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save money on your insurance? Of course you would. After all, who wouldn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all of the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
This show is part of the Pro Democracy Podcast Coalition. I think most of us agree that in a functioning democracy, the winner should be determined by the voters. Well, that almost didn't happen in 2020. Now, extremists are working to intimidate and replace nonpartisan election workers with quote-unquote yes men who might reject election results. The only thing that will stop them is us. We've partnered with the grassroots pro-democracy organization, Represent Us, to give you the tools you need to protect free and fair elections. Learn more and get involved. Visit represent.us/pod to learn more.
Have you ever been worried that Blue is depressed?
Yeah.
Because
I have. Because
he just sleeps all day.
He just sleeps all day. And also, honestly, I did give him my anxiety.
And like, he's not like a... He's a cuddly, sleepy dog, not a playful, rambunctious dog.
Which he was. And then he broke his leg. Or he sprained his leg. So he got scared of playing for a little bit. And then... Mom took him on a walk that scared him from streets for a little bit.
Because he peed on an electric wire?
No, that was when he got shocked by an electric wire. We took him to a beautiful farm and he didn't see the fence, okay? It wasn't his fault. He didn't see the fence and just a little bit of shock.
And then you got a dog reader to and then talk to Blue.
After those three scenarios, it was really difficult to get him outside. Understandably, like if I had that kind of trauma, which I did... I didn't get out of bed for years. And so I was like, no, Blue, gotta do this. So then we did. We ordered a dog whisperer. And she said that it wasn't those traumatic events. It wasn't that. While they did have a hand in why he might be a little bit fearful, those things would not stop him from like having his personality. Instead, it was that he just has a little bit of a different mind that came out after his toddler phase. He's a creative.
Basically, my family hired a dog whisperer to diagnose Blue with some sort of dog autism.
Yeah. He's a creative.
A creative dog.
He's a creative mind.
Is the hope that you'll eventually have Blue move out with you?
I talked to Mom about this, and Mom said that after 4 years, Blue would be hers. which I understand. Like, I'm leaving. Blue is my... No, Blue is... Okay. I don't know.
Blue will always be both of your dogs.
Blue will always, always be both of our dogs. And Mom and I split the roles really, really well, especially in this past year.
But you want a pit bull sanctuary as your career goal.
Yeah. And I feel, I do see myself like very realistically having an ESA dog in college sometime.
Yeah. But not a giant pit bull.
That won't be a giant pit bull.
But it would be a pit bull.
But can you see me with like a little fluffy Pomeranian?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I could too.
Like with your like little juicy jacket, like in your little pom-pom.
I can't deal with the eyes though. You know, like white dogs have those eyes.
I just really feel like to me, you are Blue and Blue is you. Mm-hmm. Like you've become an absolute dog mom and it's really cute.
Yeah.
I totally also could see you having some sort of like dog line, like dog treat line or something.
Really?
Like making matching clothes for you and the dog.
I'd want to like change the world of dogs.
Mm. Like how you want to be a vet for only dogs.
I wanted to be a vet. So I literally looked for internships. I applied to things. I reached out to connections because like I was like, Mom, I'm going to be a vet.
Because I love
animals. No, I also love animals. Like I love horses. Well, I don't love horses. Horses are chill. Like I just really wanted to be a vet after we got Blue. I was like, I love this. I hate picking up poop. And yeah. I hate dirty things. But once we got Blue, I honestly was like fine with us going to the park and him sleeping with me in my bed on my pillow afterwards. I was fine picking up his poop. I did his medication where I had to like mush it into this stinky food.
Which is a huge deal because you were like so OCD.
And I had diagnosed very minor OCD. But like I did have an aspect of OCD that, you know, after everything I really struggled with. So getting Blue is a huge thing. So then I was like, I could do this for a lifetime. Like, take care of animals, support life. I was about to say human life. Like, support animal life. And then in one of the interviews, she was like, oh, that's great. So we work with labs. We work with some mutts and pit bulls. And we have a few cats coming in this week. And I was like, oh. I was like, wait, what? Stop right there.
Like you have to interact with cats.
And then I realized like I would be the worst fucking vet. I'd be like, okay, yeah, we have an appointment open for 6. Like, what can I put you down as? They'd be like, oh, I have a cat. I'd be like, never mind. Or like I'd be getting vets and it'd be just be like, yeah.
Well, all that to say, I'm very nervous for you to be without Blue, but I also think it'll be good. It's kind of like you breaking off the codependency. Blue is going to miss
if
you.
It sticks.
Blue's going to miss you so much. Are you going to set up a baby cam?
Well, I was thinking that if I invested in an iPad and then we could mount it to the wall because his bed right now is next to the air conditioning. And there's kind of like this bare wall above his bed that I feel like we could just mount it there. And then also, have you ever seen those buttons that are like dog, walk?
Yeah.
Mom, food. If we bought a button and every time he presses it with his nose or his paw, because he's very ambidextrous. Every time he presses it, my face would come up and then slowly we could like progressively get to it would like call me.
I think you should at least get a baby cam.
Oh, yeah.
It'll mostly be of him sleeping.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of those cams where you could like on an app, like see
now the thing is that when I get a baby cam in the house, though, do you know who else it watches?
Mom. And you don't want to see that.
And I don't really think I need to see a mom empty nest.
Okay. Well, I'm very glad you have Blue and I'm excited to visit him with you in October. Me I'm going to try to join.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, we love you, Blue. This episode is dedicated to Blue and all the dog mommies out there. And, you know, Henry and I keep wanting a dog. We keep almost getting German shepherds, large dogs that we definitely can't take care of in the city, but we fall in love with them.
I'm only a 4-hour plane ride away.
That's very true.
I could dog auntie. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. We love you all so much and we will see you next week.
Bye. Bye y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.